Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be in the 9th chapter, and we'll read verses 14 through 29. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. It says this: "When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. 'What are you arguing with them about?' he asked. A man in the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not.' 'O unbelieving generation,' Jesus replied, 'how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.' So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.' 'If you can,' said Jesus, 'everything is possible for him who believes.' Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, 'I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. 'You deaf and mute spirit,' he said, 'I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?' He replied, 'This kind can come out only by prayer.'" Will you pray with me, please? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We often see Jesus meeting people in their most desperate times. There is something about desperation that brings people to Jesus. Times of desperation test our faith. They reveal who we really trust and who we really put our faith in. We are faced with whether or not we will continue having faith in God despite our current circumstances. Despite your circumstances, will you continue to have faith in God? We are in a time of desperation right now. We do not know how great the effect of this virus will be. We do not know how many people we'll get sick. We do not know how long we will have to avoid large crowds. We do not know what else will be lost in an effort to limit the spread of this virus. Routines have been altered. Many things have been canceled. People have missed out on things that they will never get back. This is a time of desperation. In this story in Scripture, we see a father in a time of desperation. He is desperately pleading for his son. This boy has been plagued by an evil spirit for a long time. His father has not given up hope. He believes that there is still hope for his son, that his son can overcome the evil that is inside him. Yet the disciples prove to be an insufficient source of remedy. They failed to drive the evil spirit out of the unnamed young man. And Jesus equates their lack of success with unbelief. What is it that they do not believe in? They do not believe in the power of God to overpower the evil spirit and to evict the evil spirit from this young man. Yet, contrasted with the disciples' unbelief is the father's continued willingness to believe. This boy's father believes in the power of God to restore his son. When the situation had continued for so long and there had been no improvement, the father brought his son to Jesus. So Jesus asks for the young man to be brought forward. The evil spirit reacts to the presence of Jesus and throws the young man into a convulsion. Evil cannot stand in the presence of Jesus. Listen to the plea of this desperate father. He says, "The evil spirit has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." He offers Jesus a mixture of despair and desperation. He paints a picture of how bad the situation is, but pleads with Jesus to help. Maybe you can identify with this father. Maybe you can identify with reaching a point of despair and desperation. We all face times when life just seems overwhelming, when it seems like life only keeps getting worse, and when it seems like it will never get better. We all face times in life when we want to cry out, "God, where are you?" Are we all just doomed to mess up our lives? Is there no hope for anyone? I have been there before. You probably have too. There's a song that captured the emotions I was feeling at one particular low point in my life. It's a song called "Worn" by 10th Avenue North. Hear the words to that song. "I'm tired. I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me see the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want to know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life. And all that's dead inside can be reborn. Because I'm worn." Maybe you have felt that way. Maybe you feel that way right now. I think this is how the father in this story was feeling. He was desperate to see his son redeemed, to be made whole, to find relief again. He was desperate to see the struggle end. He does not seem to have a lot of knowledge about Jesus. Maybe he has heard some rumors about the miracles that Jesus has performed. So he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything." There is uncertainty in Jesus' ability. And Jesus is somewhat taken back by the man's lack of certainty in Jesus' ability to defeat the demon. It's almost as if Jesus has to laugh at the suggestion that he is unable to solve this little problem. But this father does not have the perspective that Jesus has. He does not know what Jesus knows. This father knows much more about the problem than he does about Jesus. The challenges in our lives can so often seem so overpowering that Jesus can seem distant and incapable. But this perception is not reality. The challenge is whether we can take our focus off of the problem and place our focus on Jesus. Like Peter walking on the water with Jesus, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus rather than on the wind and the waves surrounding us. This father is looking at his son, and his heart is breaking again and again, day after day, as his son continues to suffer. As a father, he probably wants nothing more than to help his son. As a father, he probably wants to take his son's place and suffer for him if he could. Notice what he says. Have pity on us. Help us. His perspective is all from the point of suffering and desperation. His focus is on his son, and he suffers with his son. And he has already seen Jesus' disciples fail to help. It seems reasonable that he would have doubts about Jesus as well. And Jesus enters into this time of suffering, and he offers these words: all things are possible to the one who believes. What a powerful statement to make in the midst of such a desperate and tortured situation. Jesus confronts his lack of confidence evident in the Father with the assurance that all things are possible through faith. All things are possible to the one who believes. These are powerful words to anyone who is suffering, who is going through a tough time with no sign of relief for the future. These are powerful words for us today, who cannot currently even gather together in our church sanctuary for a worship service. These are powerful words for the world to hear. Jesus takes time to point the Father to the significance of faith. All things are possible to the one who believes. The Father responds to that statement with these words in verse 24: I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This paradoxical reply expresses the tortured self-doubt of many sincere people who pray. Every one of us lives at verse 24. We all live right here at the intersection of belief and unbelief. For Christians, it is having belief but trying to overcome unbelief. Belief and unbelief are mixed in most of us. We trust in God, but still have doubts. This is an honest prayer, a prayer of a desperate person for a desperate time. Notice that he recognizes his unbelief, but also prays to be delivered from his unbelief. And it is not just belief as in recognizing a fact. It is belief coupled with a willingness to act. It involves trust and faith. The word in the original language is the same word that is translated as faith when Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Faith in the power of Jesus can move mountains. But this father did not need a mountain moved. He needed relief for his son. We all endure severe tests of our faith. This kind of test reveals who people really trust. Like Abraham preparing to sacrifice Isaac, we all have our faith in God challenged. During any test of faith, the most appropriate prayer, the most honest prayer is this: I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. God, I believe you are with me, but help me overcome my unbelief. God, I believe you can bring good out of my suffering, but help me overcome my unbelief. God, I believe you can put an end to this virus and the havoc it is wreaking on our world, but help me overcome my unbelief. This father's prayer in his time of desperation is a prayer for us in our time of desperation. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Notice that this honest confession of belief mixed with unbelief was enough for Jesus to grant his request. His belief, however uncertain, was all that was needed. Once this father expressed these words to Jesus, Jesus commanded the spirit to come out of the boy, and the boy was set free. Evil encountered Jesus, and evil was destroyed. Faith encountered Jesus, and evil could not stand against it. See, it was not the quantity of faith or even the quality of faith that made the difference. It was the object of faith that made all the difference. Here and elsewhere, Jesus responds to faith, even partial, inadequate faith. The significant thing about the Father in this story is that he is unwilling to give in to unbelief. Instead, he prays to be delivered from his unbelief, from his lack of faith. He offers the little faith that he has and asks to be delivered from his doubt. Jesus responds to and acts upon his expression of faith, no matter how small or how mixed. God is God of both the hills and the valleys. We have faith in God when he lifts us up to the hilltops, and we have faith in God to get us through the valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus is the liberator and the healer of the things that seek to oppress and destroy us. During our current time of desperation, and any times of desperation to come, remember Jesus' words: all things are possible to the one who believes. Give Jesus what little faith you have, and ask him to help you overcome your doubt. In this time of crisis and chaos in our world, pray this prayer: I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Even faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Will you pray with me, please?